Republicans in the Senate continue to work on their version of a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act after House Republicans passed their version earlier this month. And one of the businesses watching closely is CVS Health, a Fortune 500 company headquartered in Rhode Island. Joining us for today's View from the Top, our series of conversations with leaders, is CVS Health CEO Larry Merlo. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And I want to start with the issue of healthcare and how the healthcare policy in this country could change. CVS as a company took steps to support the implementation of Obamacare several years back. Obviously, CVS and other pharmacies stand to gain from the law because more people being insured means more people getting prescriptions and maybe picking up some other items while they're in the store. How effective do you think that Obamacare has been?
Well, Jeremy, I think the Affordable Care Act, certainly dealt with making healthcare more accessible. I think if you look at the uninsured rate, it's probably at its lowest level on record at between 8% and 9%. And from a business point of view, the Affordable Care Act did have a modest benefit to our performance through the expansion of Medicaid. At the same time, there's much more that needs to be done to make healthcare more affordable and more effective.
Do you believe that Obamacare is collapsing, as some Republicans have claimed?
Well, Jeremy, I think there's certainly a lot going on, and I think the future direction, of healthcare reform at this point is squarely in the hands of the Senate. A question that I get is, what would we like to see? And I think it goes back to seeing a bill that provides access to affordable healthcare for all Americans, and at the same time, one that allows the private sector to do what it does best, and that is to allow for market competition and innovation.
So when you say affordable access to all Americans, I assume then you mean that the American Healthcare Act that the Republicans have proposed is not something that you'd like, because as we've heard from the Congressional Budget Office, more than 20 million Americans would lose health coverage if that passes.
Well, Jeremy, I think if you look at healthcare, some of the facts that continue to be true today, healthcare spending is increasing too fast. Nearly, one out of every $5 in the country goes towards healthcare. So clearly there are things that, aren't working in our delivery system. We think about three variables that contribute to healthcare spending, those being quality, access, and cost.
But do you favor the Republican plan on healthcare?
I think there are elements that make sense from the Republican plan, but, clearly there are other elements that, the Republican plan does not deal with. I think that there are, many open questions that, have yet to be answered.
What is it like to be running a major business in this country right now with the kind of political uncertainty that we're facing? Is that causing a problem for you?
We follow the news carefully, just like you and your listeners. And, there are, many things that, we've heard from President Trump in terms of outlining his agenda. There are things that, we're certainly very much aligned with. The need to overhaul our tax code and have a competitive tax rate is, of particular interest to us, in addition to some of the healthcare elements that we were talking about earlier. And, the opportunity to bring back, jobs to our country. That said, we don't have direct control, over that process. And our focus continues to be on putting our patients first and providing them with convenient access to affordable quality care.
Well, do you think that a tax overhaul is still likely? We saw the markets recently drop because of fear that all of this Comey, FBI, Russia investigation stuff is going to sideline some of the president's agenda.
It's certainly hard to answer that question. I don't think I'm in the best position to answer that, as I certainly don't have control over that process. It remains to be seen as to the pathway of getting those things done. You talk about tax. We were pleased to see the president's proposal to decrease the corporate tax rate to 15%. We have worked for several years now in terms of educating policymakers on this particular topic. Today, our tax rate, when you look at federal and state combined, is more than 39%. So, we pay about 1% of all corporate taxes in America, placing us at the very high end of corporate taxpayers. A meaningful reduction in the corporate tax rate would allow CVS Health to invest in growth and innovation, and we think that would be good for our customers, our patients, and good for the economy.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Larry Merlo, who is the CEO of CVS Health. And the company rebranded and became CVS Health in 2014. That was a move that made a lot of headlines because you decided to stop selling cigarettes. How much money did you lose because of that decision, and has it been worth it?
Well, Jeremy, it's a decision that, as we look at nearly 3 years later now, we're very pleased that we made that decision, which was a tough one at the time. You know, we sold about $2 billion worth of tobacco and related items. And as we were growing as a company and more of a healthcare company, we saw the contradiction between, you know, delivering healthcare in the back of the store at the pharmacy and at the same time, you know, selling tobacco products that, you know, is a leading cause of death in this country.
Has it hurt?
You know, Jeremy, there was a short-term headwind as a result of that, but as we moved forward, you know, the opportunity to open up new partnerships with whether it's a health plan, a hospital system, a health system, we have certainly been able to grow our business in other areas that has more than made up, you know, for the loss of selling tobacco products.
Are you seeing any trouble right now as some other retailers are? Some of the big retailers in this country are starting to see some signs of trouble.
Well, Jeremy, if you're referring to, are we seeing the impact that online stores, you know, are having in the business? Obviously, they're growing as a percentage of the overall retail market. I would say at this point, their share remains relatively small, especially, you know, within our channel. And we've got 9,700 pharmacies across the country. More than 75% of the population lives within a few miles of a CVS. And I think customers value the convenience that, you know, that we offer.
Do you expect Amazon to get into the pharmacy market?
You know, Amazon, it certainly is a well-respected competitor. And, you know, we would never take their actions lightly. I do believe it's important to acknowledge that pharmacy is very different from selling other products to consumers. Pharmacy is highly regulated. The barrier to entry is high. Today, less than 15% of all prescriptions are dispensed through mail order pharmacies, and that number has actually been on the decline.
CVS Health, along with some other companies, was named in a lawsuit from the Cherokee Nation, saying it wasn't doing enough to stop prescription opioids from flooding into their communities. How do you respond to that? That maybe CVS Health and Walmart, in this case, and other companies should have been doing more to stop what is becoming such an enormous opioid crisis in this country?
Well, Jeremy, that is certainly an area of great concern for us. And it's an epidemic that does not discriminate. It exists in our cities and the suburbs and across rural America. And, you know, there's no single cause to the problem. And, you know, the solution is going to require a multi-pronged effort involving, you know, many of the healthcare players, whether it's pharmacy or physicians, the pharmaceutical industry, insurers, certainly the government. We have been doing many things in this area. The first being prevention through education. Our pharmacists are going out into the community at junior, senior high schools, educating students on the dangers of prescription drug abuse. Today, we've touched over 250,000 students all across the country. The second focus is on collection. You know, what we can do in terms of emptying medicine cabinets in homes of unused prescription medications and working with community leaders and law enforcement, we've been able to remove over 80 metric tons of unused medications in an environmentally safe manner. And then the third is we've been working to partner with states to ensure appropriate access to the opioid overdose reversal medication, naloxone.
Do you think, though, that it is the responsibility of your employees to make sure, for example, that if multiple people from the same house are coming in to collect prescriptions, that they have to ask many questions about that before they give them out? Or is that even possible for all of your employees to be so careful about handing out prescriptions?
Well, Jeremy, we have worked, you know, with our pharmacists to provide them the tools, largely through technology, to ensure that, you know, the right patients are receiving, you know, the appropriate medications and therapies. You know, one of the things that we would advocate for that, you know, is you look at a first-time user of a pain medication. It could be as a result of an ankle sprain, perhaps, you know, some type of, you know, oral surgery. And oftentimes you see prescriptions being written for 30, 60 tablets. And, you know, we would advocate for regulation that, you know, if it's a first-time user, you know, they have perhaps a 3 to 5 day supply so that, you know, those prescriptions do not find their way into, you know, unsafe hands. And that's something that we'll continue to talk about with the regulators.
That's Larry Merlo, who is the CEO of CVS Health. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.